The sixth lesson is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
So not there, but they're lame. Because the deal is, I want to talk about an astronaut, the Pope, and a Lutheran pastor. So I looked online to see there's an astronaut, the Pope, and a Lutheran pastor walking a bar. I looked to see if that was a joke. I mean, maybe it is a joke, but I couldn't find one. But I did find a couple of bar jokes that were somewhat appropriate for church. Turns out there's a lot of bar jokes out there online that are not appropriate for 8:30 in the morning or 11 or any service in this building. But the first one was, I'm going to do this one from memory because the second one I got to read. But the first one was, a guy walks into a bar and says, "Do you have any helicopter flavor chips?" And the bartender says, "No, we just have the plain ones." See, yeah, I know that's a thinker right there. That's a thinker one right there. Yeah. All right. So, and then this one is, a guy walks in the bar after a long day at work and orders a drink. After his first sip, he hears a high-pitched voice. "Hey, mister, nice pants," it says. He looks around and doesn't see anything and quickly shrugs it off. After a little bit, he takes another sip and hears the voice again. "Hey, mister, sweet shoes." Again, he looks around, sees nothing but a bartender who has been busy attending to other customers. Shaking his head, he sips one more. "Hey, mister, cool shirt." He puts down his drink, frustrated at this phantom voice, and signals to the bartender who comes over. "Hey, barkeep," he begins, What is that high-pitched voice I keep hearing?" "Oh, those are the peanuts," he replied. "They're complimentary." Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. That's Happy New Year right there. So, as I was thinking about these readings, all of these readings are beautiful readings, and we've heard them all now several times, a number of them, but they all talk about, like I talked with the kids, they all talk about light and the nature of us as light creatures. And that's why I gave the kids a candle, was to remember that. And that may be a ritual that you want to do in your time of prayer, to get a candle and give thanks to God for the blessings in your life and people to pray for. It's a good ritual to do until that candle runs out. Or maybe you want to do it for the rest of your life. Who knows? But the key is, for me, this last verse in Matthew that Leisha read, in the same way, and this is our baptismal promise right here. Our baptismal promise right here. So, and we give a person a candle and we say, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your God in heaven." And that's the baptismal promise, and it's based on grace. And I think these readings point to this theme, and I think it's a good theme for the year and a good thing to think about as we think about resolutions. That is, what are we going to do with this? God's grace sets you free. Beth has preached about that. I've preached about that. That's what it means to be Lutheran. God's grace, the things that God does, and God does it all, frees us to be humans and to be alive and to do new things and to love and to care and all that stuff. So God's grace sets you free. So what will that look like in 2015? How will you use your freedom this year? And so that's why I think resolutions are a good thing. New Year's resolutions. So that's why I thought about an astronaut, the Pope, and the Lutheran pastor is me, by the way. But so first of all, an astronaut. Betty Rose had sent out an email about this guy, this astronaut, Chris Hadfield. Ever heard of this guy? Did you see a report about this guy? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I looked online and read about him. This guy's been in space 15 months. Not total, but you know, throughout his time as an astronaut. So he probably has a perspective on Earth unlike just about anybody. I mean, he's seen the world in a way that we see pictures on television, but most all of us will never experience the world that he sees. This giant blue planet that he's circled thousands and thousands of times. And it's a beautiful thing. And so what his thing was it was an optimistic hope for 2015. And what he said in an interview was, you know, this is all people want. Everybody wants a better place for their kids, a little bit of grace, and a chance to lead a good life. And then in this video about optimism that he has online, you can go on YouTube, Chris Hadfield. If you can't remember that name, just listen to the sermon again online, but you can type it in. Chris had the astronaut of optimism. You know, those are all words that you'll be able to find it. But he says in this video to stop for a moment and plan to see how you're going to be optimistic. And then he starts giving stats of how the world has changed. And I mean, some dramatic stats of, in 1950, 15 out of 100 children died at birth. Now, in 2010, it's down to 2. I mean, that's a fairly astonishing fact. I mean, life and light, all the good things that we all want and desire, they're here, and the world has a chance to get to be a better place. So I encourage you to look at that video, and you know, in a lot of ways, he's a new kind of prophet, because he has seen the Earth in a way that none of us has. And I trust an astronaut, I guess, for the most part, because he's seen things that I haven't seen, and I have to believe that what he's seen of the world is true. I mean, I'm optimistic about the world. I hope you are. So that's part of the new year. Okay, and then the second one is the Pope's top 10 list. I don't know if you knew he had a top 10 list of suggested New Year's things to do. Again, you can look this up, but these are the kinds of things he talks about. Take care of your spiritual life, your relationship with God, because this is the backbone of everything we do and everything we are. And so these are a number of take care things. Take care of your family life, giving your children and loved ones not just money, but most of all your time, attention, and love. And you know, this right now, Pope Francis is probably the biggest Christian on the planet right now. You know, well, definitely the biggest Catholic. I think I'm bigger than him physically, but in terms of being a Christian, fairly impactful. So I'm going to listen to a lot of what he says. Take care of your relationship with others, transforming your faith into life and your words into good works, especially on behalf of the needy. Be careful how you speak. Heal wounds of the heart with the oil of forgiveness, forgiving those who have hurt us and medicating the wounds we have caused others. Look after your work, doing it with enthusiasm, humility, competence, passion, and with a spirit that knows how to thank the Lord. If you are a worker, that's a pretty good one right there. Look after your work, doing it with enthusiasm, humility, competence, passion, and with a spirit that knows how to thank the Lord. Thankfulness. That's a good one. I like that one. Be careful of envy, lust, hatred, and negative feelings. They devour our interior peace and transform us into destroyed and destructive people. Watch out for anger. Take care of your brothers and sisters who are weak. And then make sure your Christmas, and it's past Christmas now, this was before Christmas, make sure your Christmas is about Jesus and not about shopping. So that's Pope Francis is 10, so that's the astronaut, and that's the Pope, and then there's the Lutheran pastor. Now, I'm not saying I'm an astronaut or the Pope. I'm just Pastor Eric. But so for me, I developed for the new year as I was running, as I ran January 1st, you know, which I thought, I need to run more. I came up with the ERS plan. This is Eric's reshaping strategy. ERS. And the E is eat less. And the R is run more, which can be all kinds of exercise, but run, you know, R. And then S is sleep more. I tend to not sleep as much as I should. And from what I've read and heard all of my life, you know, sleeping is pretty important to your health. So for me, eat less, run more, sleep more. If I can do one of those a day, that's good. If I can do two of those a day, that's very good. And if I get all three in, that's a great day. But one is good. So that's how I'm going to do it. Eat less, run more, sleep more. So resolutions. God's grace sets me free. What will that look like? How will you use your freedom this year? How will you do that? One suggestion I have, because I'm not going to tell you what to do. The ERS, you're welcome to eat less, probably a good idea. And run more, also probably good. And sleep more. Those are probably great ideas for everybody. I mean, so I'm not, you know, I'm not an astronaut or pope. I'm just someone who, you know, needs to be reshaped. But what will you do? What's, like, maybe I watch too much TV. What's in your grace wallet? Or to use the song, it's all about the grace, it's all about the grace, saint and sinner. That's only funny if you've heard that song, it's all about the grace. But and it only is funny in my mind, apparently, and that's fine. But resolutions, what will you do? What do you resolve to do? Resolutions means both unloosing and releasing and focusing. That's what resolving means. That's what it means for resolution, focusing. And when I think about focusing, I think about when you look on the resolution of a television, what in the TV screen, what's the television, what's it made of? When you look at the image, what's the image made of? Pixels, right. We're each a pixel that God has created for us. And if you've ever seen a TV, when one pixel is out, that's very obvious. And if you've ever just seen one pixel, it's just a point of light. A candle or a person. But when you start putting those pixels together, like a mosaic, things begin to form and images begin to form. So one resolution I have for this church to seriously think about, I mean, I would say for every church in the ELCA for that matter, or any church, mainline church at this point, if you were born 19... first I said 65 because that's when I was born. But then I decided to include Pastor Beth. So if you were born in 1966 or sooner, so if you were, you know, if you're in the 60s or in the 50s or in the 40s or the 30s and or the 20s, the 10s, do we have any be below 10? I don't think so. No. Think about legacy. Legacy. Seriously, this year, think about legacy. What is it that we can do beyond who we are now that can make a difference for the future? And so to me, I think, of course, that first means, mostly for this generation, means money. How can we provide a legacy for the future, whether it's through an endowment or not just giving to the church, but giving to anything that matters to you? But you know, you can't take it, but you can sure give it away strategically. So think about legacy this year for yourself. And especially if you're an older than me, older than Pastor Beth. What are you going to do with the grace that you've been given and the gifts you've been given to use within that grace? How can you be freed this year to give? Use the Pope's list. Look at the video of the astronaut. If you want to go along with me on my ERS program, follow me. But God's grace sets us free. What will it look like in 2015? Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen.